Hey Derby fans, Paul Green here. You can catch me on the Rams Review podcast out soon.
Hey everyone, this is Jason from the Rams Review podcast. Just before we get stuck into the episode, I want to take a quick moment to promote something us here at the Rams Review podcast are very passionate about, the Fan Hub app. Football without fans is nothing. That's why Fan Hub is on a mission to put fans first. This app is now available on Apple and Google stores. The Fan Hub app has lots of fun things for fans of football to do, including competing against fellow fans in predicting lineups and check-in on match days. Also, lots of real fan media content for each club, including us here at the Rams Review podcast for Derby County. Download it today and be part of putting fans first. Currently, there is a waiting list for the app, but we can give you a unique code to help you jump the queue. Check out on our socials for more info. This is the Rams Review Podcast. Discussion, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby County. The Rams Review Podcast is proud to be part of the Fan Hub 100, where fans come first. Hello everybody and welcome to a special episode of the Rams Review Podcast with me, Jason, and Corey. Corey's here. Corey, hello.
Jason, how are we?
Yeah, I'm good. International break. Time to switch off possibly from Derby County for 2 weeks. I mean, we wouldn't do that, of course, Corey, you know, that we're professionals, but
this is the first of our two, international break bonus podcasts. Am I right, Jason?
It is. And this one, I think, you know, we have to do, because I think we have to talk. We've on this podcast have not done too many reviews, as the name suggests, over the last few weeks, just because of the busy schedule. And somebody I know, I don't have to talk about busy schedules to, is of course, Steve Nicholson. Steve, thanks for joining us.
No problem at all. It's a pleasure.
Of course, it has been an absolute grueling run of fixtures since we started. But, I mean, obviously over that Christmas period with 18 games in about, what, seemed like a week, it's taken time. I know on this podcast, me and Corey have been trying to put out previews and do as much as we can, and just trying to take stock now in this 2 week break, a point that we're definitely going to speak about later on, and how much in the doo-doo Derby are at this moment in time. And I think it's becoming a bit more realistic, certainly after the weekend results, but I want to touch on that a little bit later. But I want to start the podcast with some light-hearted humour. Corey, I don't know if you saw, I tweeted out earlier on Twitter. Of course, it's Deforestation Day, and 7 years ago to the day. So I thought I'd just like to start, as we're recording this on Monday the 22nd, the podcast isn't probably going out till tomorrow, but I just thought we'd start off, because chances are this might be a little bit of a negative podcast. So I thought I'd start off with some very nice memories that I know I certainly had that day. And I'm sure Steve, you did too. And Corey, over in America, you would have done too. Just a quick 5 minutes. It's been 7 years, Steve. I'll come to you first. 7 years ago. Can you believe it? 7 years ago since Derby were playing that kind of football, especially with what we've had to kind of put up with over the last certainly 18 months to 2 years. And I don't think at the time it probably felt as good as it might be looking back. But just a memory from you of that special day for Derby.
Yeah, I mean, this past year feels like 7 years, to be fair. It really does. But no, I mean, you have to enjoy special days like that, don't you? If you beat your rivals 5-0 with a scintillating performance, totally dominant performance. It doesn't happen very often in Derby fixtures, if you like, between rivals. So you have to enjoy that. And Derby fans certainly did. I know Bryce, Craig Bryson, certainly did. His hat-trick, I do wind him up now and again and say a couple of them were deflections and a penalty. So, he, let's be honest, that season he was on fire, wasn't he? You know, 16 goals from midfield, again, what we'd give for that right this minute, wouldn't we? A midfielder who gets in the box, who runs beyond the striker and scores that many goals. That would be an absolute blessing at the moment. So it was a great day. Fabulous goal from Johnny Russell. I just thought from very early on that day, it was quite clear that Derby had far, far too much for Forest. The midfielders ran through them with ease. You know, Chris Martin, again, showed the value, didn't he, of the centre forward. And that's absolutely crucial to any team, especially at this level. It was just a great day. The team, they hadn't done very well in the previous four games, if I recall. They hadn't scored a goal in the previous four games. So it was a bit out of the blue. I spoke to John Eustace not too long ago. Of course, he was a pivotal part of Derby's midfield up to that game and missed that game. And that's, of course, when George Thorne made his debut. And from then on, of course, George made the position his own. I felt a bit for Eustace, John Eustace, because he was a key player for Derby and a very important player. But George came in, was fantastic right the way through to the playoff final. And if you can't enjoy moments like that, you know, we shouldn't really be in the game, should we?
No. And I know, obviously, our neighbours down the A52 do get a bit of stick on Twitter about digging up the past and things like that. And so I'm sorry that I've had to do that. But I mean, you know, I know certainly on this podcast platform, Corey, me and you, we've not had too many bright things to talk about over the last 2 years. So for me, that it was one that I thought it was worth mentioning. And it will be one that lives on in the memory for at least a few more years yet, possibly until something better happens, maybe.
Jason, you don't say that the last 2 years that we've been doing the podcast, Derby's results have suffered. Is it a case of if we pack in the podcast, Derby win?
It might have to be.
Derby
it
go
might
on have and to be. Do something?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Maybe. But yeah, just a little bit of a light-hearted conversation before, obviously, we have to get stuck into the tough stuff of what's been a bit of a very much an up and down last 3 months, Steve. I mean, just to be honest with you, when I was thinking about, obviously, as talking earlier on, I just looked at the championship fixture, at the championship table and the form guide from the last four or five. And to be fair, other than Norwich and Watford, who are on a nice streak at the moment, and pretty much have been, apart from Watford's slow start. And then you've got one or two others who are in there who are just finding the feet. I think if you look from 10 down, there is no consistency whatsoever. Is that a case of, obviously, COVID, how many games, the pitches we know haven't been brilliant, small squads? You know, is it a little bit of everything just finally starting to come to the boil?
I think you're right. It is a combination of a lot of things. This has been the most bizarre season we may well experience. It's been a strange one for everybody right from the start. You know, very quick turnaround from the end of last season. No crowds, obviously, at games. And I think that is really odd because it seemed to suit some teams and not suit others. I'm absolutely of the opinion that had we had 28,000 in regularly for every Derby game, I don't think they'd be where they are in the table. Now, I know we don't know that, but that's just the feeling I get, because I think that crowd, that 28,000, demand a level of performance. You know, sometimes it can be good, sometimes it can be average, but they demand a level of performance. And I think Derby has suffered a little bit for that. Other teams have as well. But yeah, there's been a lot of things involved in it. The pitches have been strange, haven't they? You know, we haven't seen that at all. And it certainly has been the case at Derby, but other grounds as well. But you're right, if you look at the form table, Derby at the moment at the bottom of it, which is not a healthy position to be in, ahead of the running. You know, you need to change that very, very quickly. But there are a number of other teams struggling as well. I mean, just look at Preston, who've changed their manager very, very recently. They're on a bit of a slide. Blackburn were until recently as well. So it can happen in this division. A lot of games, very close together. If you hit a bad run, which Derby are on now, the key to it always is to end it as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, Derby's current bad run has gone on for 7 games.
And I think, Corey, you know, we said a few weeks ago, and I think this is common, it's not just something that we come up with. A lot of Derby fans I've seen on social media have said, we're kind of hoping that this three teams worse than Derby, because Derby don't seem to be in a position where they can turn it around for long enough to pull themselves out of the mire. And I know we'd said practically Wickham had gone, Sheffield Wednesday looked odds on, and Birmingham with the team in absolute freefall. And of course, then they bring in Lee Bowyer, which, I mean, I suppose most teams get a new manager bounce. Sheffield Wednesday haven't kind of got it really too much under Darren Moore, although obviously they got a good result at the weekend against an informed Barnsley side. But Birmingham was the one for me that I thought, obviously Rotherham's game in hands. I think that's why it's difficult to categorise Rotherham at this moment in time. But the turnover in manager for Birmingham seems to have just done them ever so nicely. And that was the one that was for me. I know me and Corey both said it 3 weeks ago. They should be the bottom three. Derby will limp over the line. Probably not, you know, very pretty. It might even still get a little bit worse with obviously Norwich and Swansea coming up and you know, those kind of games. But actually, my opinion over, certainly after the weekend as well, my opinion on how deep Derby are in this has actually changed. And I think Derby are actually in this a lot deeper than I possibly gave it credit for. We know that certainly even with eight games to go, it's the business end. We see it season in and season out that the teams at the bottom do just start pulling results out from nowhere. Sometimes that's to no avail, but there's always one or two in there. I said Sheffield Wednesday getting the result against Barnsley on Saturday was quite surprising to me personally, when Barnsley have been on a pretty decent run. And there's no sign of it coming from Derby. Obviously, the second half against Brentford was a little bit more like what we'd want to see. But it's we've said it probably as a Derby fan for a very, very, very long time, certainly for the last 2 years, that they're having to go under Cocu. It was very similar. You know, you'd have to be 1-2, go 2-0 down before the team started to play. And that's a very, very dangerous way of dealing with it. Why that can't come, you know, from the start. And then, of course, after the Brentford game, everybody was hoping that the performance on Saturday was going to be of a higher standard. And for me personally, I thought it was an absolute boring game of football. I don't think Stoke were any better than Derby, don't get me wrong. And if there was ever going to be a goal in that game, it was going to win it. Yeah? And unfortunately, Derby this season, and certainly for the last few months, have been, when that's been the run of the game, Derby haven't necessarily come out of it. You know, they haven't nicked the 3 points. They've always given the 3 points away, haven't they, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest disappointment about Saturday at Stoke, as you say, it was a poor game. I thought the two very average teams. There wasn't a lot between them. Both of them struggled to score goals, as we know. So in many ways, the shape of the game wasn't a surprise. But for me, the biggest disappointment was having got out of jail a bit against Brentford in the second half, with that performance, that level of performance, the tempo of the performance and the belief that should have given them. I thought going to Stoke was the perfect opportunity to get that win, which basically would have put Derby very close to the finish line, in theory. And they squandered it. They wasted it. And they never looked like winning the game. And that, for me, was the biggest concern, and would be for Wayne Rooney as well. The thing about this division is, there will be, in the final 8, 9, 10 or 12 games, as in Rotherham's case, there will be surprise results. There will be surprise results. And that's why it's important to look after your own results. Wayne Rooney has been confident all along that they won't go down. He said that all along. I've been pretty confident as well. Rotherham have got a lot to do. 4 games in hand is fine, but I've looked at their fixtures. They are playing every third day, in theory. They haven't got the biggest squad. Now, it works for them in the fact that if they get a couple of results, it might be a bouncing where you go through a few games and suddenly they're looking good. But if you get a couple of defeats, it works the other way as well. Mm. So I think Sheffield Wednesday, Wickham have, you know, for me, Wickham in the 2 games I've seen against Derby shouldn't be bottom of the table. But they are. And they're fighting and they're scrapping away. Sheffield Wednesday, they got a great win at Barnsley, as you say. And it'll be interesting to see whether they can pick that up again. But for Derby, they needed this break desperately needed the break. And they've got a lot to do in the next 10, 11 days. They've got a lot to sort out. They've got a lot of questions that need answers. They need to find a lot of solutions because, make no mistake, the game against Luton looks huge now. Looks huge. A win could change the way we're all feeling. A defeat with results going the other way could be a problem. And as I said in my match verdict yesterday, the last thing you want, you don't want to be tapping on the trapdoor because it has a habit of opening if that's the case. So you want to get your feet off that trapdoor as quickly as possible.
One of the results that stands out for me at the end of last season, Jason, Steve, what you were talking about was Barnsley going to Griffin Park and beating a Brentford side that had they won that game, they would have gone to the Premier League and Barnsley would have been League One and they ended up getting the result. I remember watching that game and Barnsley were like unplayable on that day. And it was incredible with the full Brentford team. So, you know, Steve, we see this time and time again, and, you know, you do need to take care of your own business. You don't want to be relying on other people to do games. And, you know, I think it was 4 or 5 weeks ago, wasn't it, Jason, when Derby had a decent run, people were starting to use the P word, promotion, playoffs. They were starting to, well, I mean, Derby's like 12th. Yeah. It was only 6 points off of the playoffs. And now, you know, a month later, there's a completely different mood around the fan base. And Steve, I know you touched on this a little bit in your answer, but I'm going to ask you the direct question. How much in danger are the Rams of relegation in your mind?
They cannot afford any more performances like we saw against Stoke. That's the first thing. That has to change. I still think they'll be okay. Now, people will say, well, you know, Birmingham have got Lee Bowyer in, new manager, Sheffield Wednesday got a win, Rotherham got a win. Yeah, absolutely. But it can change very quickly. And if Derby do what we know they can, because as you say, only a few weeks ago, they won 5 out of 6 matches. They were keeping clean sheets. It's not that long ago, they kept 8 clean sheets in 11 games, conceded only 3 goals. So actually, they've got something there. Unfortunately, it hasn't come out recently in the last 7 games. And that's the answer that Wayne Rooney must find, and his coaching team must find in this international break. They must find who's up for the battle. They've got to settle. It's time to settle on a team and on a shape. And I know that's not been easy for Wayne Rooney because the players haven't helped him pick a settled side. Very few players, I mean, I was looking at the game at Stoke, apart from maybe Matt Clark and Ted and Mengi, very few players in that team could hold their hands up or knock on the manager's door and demand to be in the starting 11 again. And that's the problem Wayne Rooney's had. Not enough players have demanded to, with their performances, to be in the starting 11. So he's not been able to pick a settled team. But now, 8 games to go, this is the time. We started the programme about the great win against Nottingham Forest. If you remember, in those final 12 games of that run in that season, the team barely changed. It barely changed. And that's what Derby need in the 8 games. They need to settle on a shape, they need to settle on a philosophy, if you like, and they need to settle on the team. And injuries permitting, they need to kind of find ways to end this run and then go on a positive run. I'd say one result could change it. One result against Luton could change it, but that's either way as well.
My next question, Steve, was looking at the remaining games for Derby. I was going to ask you, you know, what games do you think are winnable? But, you know, with that, and we know what the championship's like, and again, they win against Luton, you get a little bit of momentum and it changes the whole thing. So I could sit here and say Luton, Reading, Norwich, Blackburn, Preston, Birmingham, Swansea, and Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, those are the remaining games for Derby. And I could sit here and I could say, well, where are they going to pick the points, Steve, to get it? Because Derby's not, you kind of forgotten that winning feeling. But again, you're right. They come off this 2-week break. They go against Luton. They win a game and it starts to steamroll. I mean, Derby's beat Norwich. I mean, the Blackburn handed it to them. They played well against Swansea, but they're going to be gunning for promotion. You've got two teams at the bottom of the table in your neck of the woods that are going to be fighting and scrapping to stay in this division. So I guess that scratches off my next question, Steve. Where are the points going to come from? Because as we know, things are going to change on a week-by-week basis.
Yeah, they do. And just to give you an example of the not knowing, at half-time against Brentford in the last home game, we were sitting on or fearing a 3 or 4 goal defeat. Because Brentford were absolutely dominant. Derby could barely put two passes together. They could barely threaten Brentford's goal. And at that moment, we were staring down another 3 or 4 nil. And then by the time the final whistle went, we were jumping up and down thinking, well, that's a real lift now. That's the boost they need. Take it forward. So that's the unknown of this division. You cannot, you just can't. I rarely look at fixtures and think, this is a good run or that's a good run. I see fans saying, oh, so-and-so's got an easy run and so-and-so. I don't think that's the case at all. I don't think anyone can say who's got the easiest running at all. And that's the way I look at Derby. You mentioned all the games they've got to play there. I could see Derby winning all those games, but I could also see him losing those games as well. And that's where we are with it. So it's impossible to pick and choose. And I think what Wayne Rooney's doing right, and it's a bit of a cliche from him, and he knows that, but he can only take the next game. That's all Derby can do at the moment. There can't be a philosophy on how we play because it's so unsettled. The team's not right. The balance isn't right. He hasn't really got the players maybe he wants. So he can't have a philosophy at the moment. The only philosophy he can have is treat the next game, prepare for the next game and get as many points as possible. Forget this thing about performances. I know performances bring results, but you don't get any extra points for performances, and Derby need points at the moment.
Steve, I'm going to ask you this. How many points do Derby need for safety, in your estimation, using all of your experience?
Well, I did some calculations not so long ago, and the average number of points needed to stay up in the Championship over the past 10 seasons has been 45. By saying that means you've got to finish fourth bottom. It's needed 45 on average. Now, at the moment, Derby are on 40 points. Wayne Rooney said last week that he wanted four more wins. He wanted to get 50 points. 50 points is always the obvious mark, isn't it? Everyone aims for 50 points. I think about 47 might be enough. I think about 47 might be enough. Rotherham on 35. That's 12 points to reach 47. That's 4 wins from 12. The reason Rotherham are in the bottom three is because they haven't won enough games all season. You know, so they're going to have to go on a very positive run. But there are other teams in there as well, as we know, Sheffield Wednesday, Birmingham, Coventry, etc. But I think if Derby can get another 3 wins, certainly that should be enough for me.
Yeah, one of the points I wanted to pick up on, Steve, you was just talking there about Rooney's shape and players and things like that. Under previous regimes, one of the biggest complaints of fans have been, and probably to Derby's downfall over the last 7 or 8 years, certainly under Steve McLaren, was Derby didn't have a plan B.
Yeah,
Derby have got about a full alphabet of plans in terms of formation and the way that they... How unsettling do you think that is, that Rooney has gone with the, well, we'll match you, we'll set up against you exactly the same. We've seen it work in some respects. We've not seen it work in other respects. Obviously, we tried to match Brentford the other night, 4-3-3 to start off with, and got absolutely blown out of the water in the first half. We changed it, and, you know, anybody caught that second half and didn't see the first one and ignored the scoreline to start off with, they'd have probably thought Derby were the team gunning for promotion and not Brentford fighting towards the bottom. Why is it that certain formations as well, that obviously the 4-4-3 can work against one team, it sparkles. Against another team, it just doesn't. It's, we've almost having too many plans now. There's too many thoughts. Is that having a detrimental effect, do you think?
Wayne Rooney said last week in the press conference before the Stoke game that ideally he would like to have a consistent team and a consistent way of playing, because that's what all managers seek. And that's what he wants. But at the moment, I don't think it's possible. They should look at opponents before they play them, because if they didn't, that would be an oversight they'd get criticised for. I think with Steve McLaren, The biggest argument with Steve was that they did only have one way, but I still think they had the players to change it in that squad, to change to another system. With the current Derby squad, the problem they've got is when they go three at the back, they can look quite comfortable, because I believe the fullbacks are better wing backs than they are fullbacks. So that's Lee Buchanan and Nathan Byrne, who I think at times struggle defensively one-on-one as orthodox fullbacks. So when they play wing backs, it plays to their strengths, really. They can get three centre backs in, and as I said before, I think Matt Clark has been very consistent again. I think Andre Wisdom over the season has been very good. So you've got strength there as well. I think Steve had more options than Wayne Rooney's got. And that's the thing, especially in the attacking third. He certainly had more options. And Derby haven't got them at the moment. You know, the wide players aren't really delivering on a consistent basis. Kamil Jozriak has hit a period of form where he's just not affecting games enough. And that's why he's in and out of the team. Patrick Roberts, I thought, should have started before he did on Saturday. I thought he looked quite lively in moments, but again, he needs to do it more consistently. He needs more end product. We've got basically one centre forward. And at the moment, you know, Kazim Richards has really put a shift in since he came into the team. Really put a shift in. And I think it was always going to catch up with him. Always going to catch up with him. He's 34 years old. He's kind of carried the team during that period of 5 wins in 6 games because of the way he plays. The strength, the vocalness he has, the way he occupies centre-backs. Everything about it was vital to Derby. He's just dipped and he's got a bit of a nagging hip problem, which can't be helping him. So I just think at the moment, Wayne Rooney is having to really juggle things to try to find a system and an 11 that will get Derby over the line.
Steve, I think that was one of the things that really stood out to me, and I'm sure it did to you as well, Jason, at the weekend, was Kazim Richards has been phenomenal for Derby this season. I know we spoke back on October 1st, right after the transfer window kind of closed, and we were kind of talking about the left field signing of Kazim Richards. But, you know, he's been phenomenal. And, it was 34 years old. He's leading the line. Lee Gregory's not available. And he's leading the line because he has to get a pain injection to play. And they have to do this because Derby didn't have any other center forwards. Obviously, Waghorn, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit, was not in the squad. And it was kind of like, it just showed the dearth of attacking options that Derby had, that you had to inject a 34-year-old center forward with painkillers so he could play in a game against Stoke, which, in order to try to save your season because you don't have anybody else. And that was just one of those things that it kind of struck me as, wow, this Derby team, when you look at the teams from the past decade, 15 years, whatever, this is one of the teams that's very thin in certain areas of the team. Just the lack of options. And we thought he was maybe going to play with a false nine because he'd been coy on Richards playing or not playing. But to give a 34-year-old a pain injection to play in a game against Stoke, for me, that just really stood out as, yeah, this is a real desperation time for Derby.
Yeah. It's a good point, Corey. Absolutely. I mean, I actually would have gone with a false nine in that game. I would have given Kazim Richards the game off because clearly, you know, if you've got that type of nagging injury, it doesn't go away. You have an injection, it lasts about an hour in those circumstances, and then you're feeling it again. But if you remember the game at Bournemouth earlier this season under Philip Cocu, actually, Derby went with a false nine in Tom Lawrence, and Rooney was on one side and Waghorn on the other side, and actually worked a treat first half. It was one of Derby's best first halves. So they played really well in that game. So I'd have probably done that. I think that would have thrown Stoke a bit more because they've got centre-backs waiting to play up against Kazim Richards, waiting for the physical battle, knowing that he's not going to run past them so they can move and squeeze the play up. But I think a false nine, someone like Tom Lawrence, I think could have worked in that game. I was a little bit surprised that maybe they didn't go with that.
And I mean, I managed to catch the game on Saturday, and I don't think with our physical Stoke we're going to be, they've got two Berlin centre-halves, one 6.5 foot. You knew exactly what was going to happen. I think you're right there, Steve. Maybe not playing anybody there, that would be their bread and butter. And obviously, Richards didn't get any change out of them all game. And it did feel like that was, I mean, we spoke obviously before in a preview game. We had a couple of Stoke podcasts on who said that, you know, Derby have got just a good a chance of winning this one. But I was really, really disappointed, obviously, from the Brentford second half performance and then into that game. It was as if, obviously, the belief just seems to have disappeared. I mean, you were just talking a minute ago. This is, by and large, the same bunch of players that went on that consistent run. We didn't concede goals. We didn't. And, you know, these little errors have started to creep back in defensively a little bit. I think we, you know, against Brentford, certainly in that first half, we got cut open far too many times. Our passing seems to have deserted certain individuals who can't seem to string three passes together. And like you say, you know, any change that Rooney's trying to make, the players are turning up for 10, 15 minutes from a substitution appearance. They then start the next game and they're just not, they're not offering anything. And something that I want to go on to next is, obviously, we know this, I appreciate there's still 8 games to go, but just looking slightly forward to the summer, there's going to be a hell of a lot of change at Derby. We believe, with the amount of people, obviously Loney's going back, the amount of out of contract players, you know, Waghorn and Wisdom to name two that are out of contract. Wisdom, I think I'd agree with you. I think he's by and large, I think he's had one or two stinkers, but I think by and large he's been pretty decent. I've been really disappointed with Martin Waghorn this season for whatever reason. Under Lampard, I thought obviously that was his best. We saw some decent glimpses of him last season, probably still not quite as effective. And this year he's just completely gone off the boil. And not just to single out Martin Waghorn, but for a player of that age who's looking, you know, who's out of contract, surely you would presume that the effort and the application would and the desire would be there a lot more than it comes across. Corey, you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, we've since found out that Waghorn wasn't involved at the weekend because of attitude and effort on the training pitch. Just players in general, Steve, in your opinion, why is it when players, you know, is it that they want to leave, a bit similar to the Dwayne Holmes situation, that, you know, you could tell he wasn't right at Derby. You just could see that he wasn't right and he wanted to go. Is that the same with Waghorn? Do you think he thinks his time's up at Derby? He's possibly not been utilised in the way that he likes to play. Because I think if you'd ask Martin Waghorn, he wants to play as a number 9. And Derby haven't done it. Is it a case of him winding down his contract and we won't see him at Derby next season?
I think it was interesting, wasn't it? Because on the Thursday, last Thursday, Wayne Rooney, we all used saying that Kazim Richards was obviously a major doubt for the Stoke game. And Wayne Rooney said straight away, he said Martin Waghorn had trained excellently that day on the Thursday. And then, of course, we get to Stoke and he's not in the squad. And I asked Wayne Rooney afterwards and he explained the situation, as he said, that he wasn't happy with the way Waghorn trained on Friday. Derby don't need this at the moment, do they? You know, it's hard enough trying to win games on the pitch without these matters off the pitch or in training. So that was a disappointing thing. Martin Waghorn is, you know, he could say, well, look, he's been shifted about in positions, hasn't he? As we know, he's centre forward one week, he's on the right side the next week. I think his best performances in general, over his time at Derby, have been from the right-hand side. It wasn't so long ago he came off the bench in the game and put in a real good shift and earned great praise from the manager. I think, I don't know whether that was at Cardiff or whatever, I can't remember now. But so the praise has been there, but obviously something's gone off on Friday at training, which obviously Wayne Rooney hasn't enjoyed. And the one thing about Wayne Rooney as manager that we're learning and learning very quickly is what he says he does, you know, and he said all along that if you train right and if you play right, then you're in the team. And if you don't, in his opinion, then you're not in the team. And that doesn't matter who it is, whether it's a senior player or a young player or whatever. And he's stuck by that. And I suppose as a manager, that's all you can ask for, because he's been very, very consistent with that. If you remember, he left Colin Kazim Richards and Christian Bielik out of squads earlier this season. And then they came back, fantastic attitude, returned, great form, etc. The challenge for Martin Waghorn now, having been left out of the squad at Stoke, the challenge for him is, for the Luton game, is to come back and show what value he can offer the team.
So, Steve, you know, Martin Waghorn's one of the players we've talked about, Andre Wisdom, and like Jason says, it's going to be a very interesting offseason for Derby. You know, Matt Clark's loan's running out. Personally, I can't see him coming back to the same club for a third year. You know, a la Jack Harrison, I don't think that he's going to come to Derby for a third year, especially on loan. You know, I know he wants to get Mengi back. You've got Davis out of contract, Wisdom out of contract, Waghorn out of contract. You know, me personally, I feel that one of the three young players, Bird, Sibley, or Knight, probably will go to refund some sort of rebuild, and potentially even Tom Lawrence, because he's not really even showed up much this season. And I'm not, you know, speculation is all we can do at this point, obviously, but you know, what are your feelings on the makeup of the squad going forward? And the second part to that is, what's the characteristics of a Rooney kind of player that he wants to be bringing in?
Yeah, I mean, the squad's interesting, isn't it? I think this is an absolutely crucial summer for Derby. And we often say that. I know we say that. But I feel this one really is, for a number of different reasons. One, of course, off the field, with all the takeover issue or on and off and all that, that still all has to be sorted out. Wayne Rooney needs to know what financial muscle he'll have in the transfer market, and who he can keep and who he can't keep. Derby have sold players most summers. That's not unusual. That will probably happen again, as you point out. It's happened before. Will Hughes, Tom Ince, Jeff Hendrick, Matej Vidra. You know, he was leading scorer in the Championship when Derby sold him. So that's not new. That wouldn't be a surprise. Yeah, they need to sort out the contracts of Wisdom and Waghorn. They need to make a decision on those, whether they feel they're part of the future or not. As far as the loan players go, this is the interesting one for me. Ted and Mengi, as you said, Wayne Rooney would like to keep him. And for me, that makes sense, because he's 18 years old. He isn't going to get into Manchester United's team next season. But to me, it would seem like a Fikayo Tomori type season-long loan. You know, there are lots of similarities between them. Certainly the recovery pace that Mengi's got, as Tomori had at centre-back, which is interesting. And I think he could develop very nicely over a full season with Derby, pre-season and then next season as well. I could see that happening. George Edmondson, we haven't seen a lot of him, but what I've seen of him, I quite like. I think he's got something about him. I think he's got an edge to him, to his play. If you can find a position for him to settle in. I don't know what his future is at Rangers, but he clearly hasn't been involved too much there, as we know. So that's a possibility with that one. Lee Gregory and Patrick Roberts, I think it's too early for us to say whether Derby should or shouldn't bring them or look to bring them back next season. I'd like to see more from them and more of them. Matt Clark is the interesting one, isn't he? He could actually be player of the year again this season. I don't know. He certainly will be in the frame for it. And I think you're absolutely right, Corey. I can't see Brighton saying have him for a third full season. I think what they'll say to Derby is, if you want him, you buy him. Simple as that. And that won't be cheap. That won't be cheap. Why should it be? Why would Brighton do that? You know, he's still only, I think, 23, isn't he, Matt? He seems to have been around forever. But I think he's shown the type of consistency, not only in his performances, but in his availability. You know, he's available for every game. You know, and for a centre-back, that takes some doing. You know, he, touch wood for him, he doesn't pick up injuries. He's always there. I think he would be a good signing. Whether Derby would have the money to sign him, I don't know, as I say, because other things need to be sorted as well.
The thing that also stands out about Matt Clark is last season, I believe it was last season, he went the entire year without a yellow, which for a centre-half in the modern game is...
Yeah. I think that what that tells you, Corey, is that he competes. He doesn't look to foul. He actually looks to compete and win the ball. And I think referees are okay with that. You know, yeah, I don't think they have a problem with that. They know that if he goes for a ball and he doesn't quite make it and he concedes a foul, that's all it is in theory. And I like him. I think he competes. Yeah, he's had one or two stinkers this season, but show me a Derby player who hasn't. I think he's been very consistent. And what I like about him, and he's very much like Jeff Hendrick in this, and Paul Green was another one like this. He's a bit of a slow starter to seasons, Matt, but once he gets in that groove, game after game after game, he seems to get better and better and better. Jeff was what certainly like that. Once he got going, Jeff, and got motoring, and Paul Green was another one. And that's what I like about him. He hits this consistent theme. So it's going to be fascinating what Brighton think of him as far as their future goes. And what they'd want to do with him as far as whether Derby could buy him or not. But I think you're right. It would be a major surprise if they got him for a third full season on loan.
Yeah, because it's like Jack Harrison at Leeds. Leeds have had him for 3 years. And you watch it and you're like, at some point, someone's going to have to stump up some money for the guy. They're not just going to perpetually. Yeah. You can just keep having him for a couple million. Yeah.
And also for the player as well. You know, I think it's important to say, this is now my home. You know, this is where I am, you know, and that's very important for players. And you see it with players. I think Colin Cazin-Richards has felt very much at home since signing for Derby. He feels like he belongs here and feels part of it. And that kind of helps the former players. And I'm sure someone like Matt Clark would be thinking in the summer, look, am I going to be a Brighton player or am I a Derby County player? And can we sort this out either way?
Yeah, and when you also look at Brighton and you look and they've got Lewis Dunk and they've got Ben White as their center half, they've got Duffy who's out on loan, they've got Dan Byrne who's had the shift to the left. I mean, even if you look at their kind of depth chart of center halves, even Matt Clark coming in, even top peak Matt Clark, you're probably looking at fourth or even fifth, even sixth choice at best. Yeah. That's no disrespect to Matt Clark.
No. Nope. Brighton
are a much better footballing side. They just can't put the ball in the back of the net. That's their problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, Brighton, if they stay up and they had a great win against Newcastle, which kind of helped them in that, if they stay up, they'll probably look to strengthen as well. Well look to strengthen the defence, because in the Premier League, you stay up, you stay in there, you get Premier League money. It helps you, you know, evolve as a team. And while they're evolving and looking to move on each season, then Matt's kind of playing catch up, isn't he, trying to get into that side. So it's going to be fascinating what happens. I mean, Philip Cocu made it very clear at the end of last season, before the end of last season, that he wanted to sign Matt Clark for another season. Very clear about it. And I'd imagine if Wayne Rooney is asked the same question, he may well give the same answer.
So, Jason, we've talked about the P word, promotion. We've talked about the R word, relegation. But we have to talk about the T word, and that is the takeover. Jason, I'll let you take that one away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it came to anybody's surprise that it was reported last week that obviously Mel had put a deadline on the deal, didn't obviously get a response, or maybe he did, we don't know, but this certainly wasn't the response that he was wanting. And we are now actively looking at other parties. I think, from my opinion, I saw quite a bit of this on Twitter. When somebody, and let's face it, Derby have had a few takeovers over the years. Steve, you'll have seen a few more than I will have done, I'm sure. But, you know, even if the deal with Sheikh Khalid had happened, like a phone call tomorrow, right, I found the money, because we heard that the main backer fell out before Christmas, and obviously they were trying to sort that one out. Even if they came back tomorrow and went, right, there's the money, there's the funds, they show it, you know, in a nice briefcase or whatever, I think from a fan's perspective, because of obviously how long it's taken and the messing about, it's not really, I think it would unease a lot of fans thinking that they finally, even if they started waving a checkbook about, I'm sure memories would soon disappear. But you know, that initial thought process of the fans is he the right guy or the right consortium to take over Derby? And of course, there's been one or two other names thrown in the hat just recently. And for me personally, as a fan, none of them sit that well with me. I think, you know, obviously we've got an American consortium potentially, and I know the name Tom Glick has been mentioned. Obviously, he's got previous with Derby. I think that chapter's best left in the past. We've obviously got Eric Alonso, whose name's been bandied about, a young entrepreneur, if you call him that. He seems a bit too much of... almost comes across as it'd be a bit of a hobby. It'd be a bit of a hobby. And I appreciate the amount of money that, you know, may well have to be put into Derby County to make it profitable or whatever. But I don't think the right mindset's there from that kind of an owner. Then, of course, we've heard that there's more local-based consortiums. I even heard Peter Gadsby's name mentioned, obviously, for the third, fourth, fifth time involvement in Derby. Steve, from your opinion, what I've heard... Derby need a local, local businessman, which obviously we've had with Mel, and it's had its benefits. It's also definitely had its negative sides, in my opinion. What do you think is best at this moment in time? What Derby, in terms of, is it a foreign owner? Is it a bit more of a local? Or is it just somebody that's going to come in, okay, maybe not spend millions, but just stabilise everything and take away what has been 2 years, near enough, of... just things that we don't necessarily want to be talking about on a weekly basis, which, let's face it, that's exactly what we've been doing.
Yeah, I think what's needed is an outcome to this, isn't it? And as you say, to stabilise the whole situation. We've had too much off the field discussions this season, talking about what might happen off the field when we've got more than enough problems on the field. To get results. For me, last week, I thought was a bit of a relief in some ways that we had some clarity at last in the fact that, well, that's BZI, it's not happened, been waiting. It was announced at the beginning of November that a deal had been agreed in principle. We got through to March, still hadn't happened. So for me, that was the best feeling of last week, was the fact that, okay, that's that. Okay, we know that's that. Let's move on. And I think that's the important thing now, is to move on. And I know the chairman and owner, Mr. Morris, is looking at three other possibilities, interested parties. You mentioned some names there. They're the names that are being bandied about. There is local interest, I understand. But I say, I think the important thing is, and to be fair to Mel Morris, he said this all along, that he'll only sell the club to somebody who's suited to buy it, the right fit, if you like. He has said that all along, and that's what's needed in theory. If Mel Morris wants to sell a club, which is obviously he does, then we have to find the right fit. And as you say, it doesn't necessarily mean someone coming in and throwing millions and millions at it. It might mean someone coming in and just saying, right, let's just stop a minute. Let's just take a stock. Let's have a breather. Let's see what the problems are. Let's sort them out and let's start building again. Because let's be honest, Derby are building from, what, fifth, sixth bottom of the championship at the moment. That's where they are. And you know, it can be a long way back, and that's not what fans really want to hear. But sometimes you might need that. You might need to strip it back and say, right, let's go again with it. And I think the key for me is, let's move on from the last few months first, and let's, as soon as possible, stabilise the club so we're not talking about takeovers, we're not talking about off-the-field matters. We're very much talking about on the field matters.
Steve, my last question regarding the takeover is, you know, obviously the exclusivity period ended with BZGI, yeah. And then they said basically the deal's off, which was very anticlimactic. And I agree with you. It was a relief to everybody. That was kind of like, thank God, we all knew it was off. Finally, someone come out and said, it's not happening. Thank you so much for that. But, you know, we then, you know, there are in advanced talks with those parties, Eric Alonso being one of them. So my assumption is that they're not starting from square one again with other owners, correct? It's we've already had conversations. We're already, and I don't know, I'm not going to ask you to give a percentage of 75, 80, because that's unfair to do that, because we don't know for certain. But my assumption is they're not starting from square one. I'm not coming to Steve Nicholson and saying, hey, you know, the deal with Jason fell through. I'm interested now. We'd already have been talking for some period of time, I would assume, correct?
Yeah. I mean, the interested parties will have made their interest known for some time, you know, because that's what happens, you know. And you still have to go through an awful lot, of course, to get the right deal in place and all that type of thing. So we've got that ahead of us. But you're right. It's not like we start again as a word from fresh. But these things still take time. You know, they do take time. And the interesting thing about it all is that I said earlier, this summer for me is absolutely crucial. And Derby can't really let this summer come and go, because the squad is not in the right shape and hasn't got the right balance to start next season. That's quite clear. And that's why Wayne Rooney is saying, and he said on the record, he's very ambitious. He wants to launch a promotion challenge next season. That's what he wants to do. And he wants to know whether he's got the backing to do that or not. And that's why, as I say, the next few weeks and the summer, vital.
Do you feel confident, Steve, that no matter who the owner is, that Wayne Rooney will still be the manager at Derby, or would a new owner come in and look at someone, say, like Chris Wilder with a proven, obviously this season anomaly, proven winning record? Or are you confident that Rooney's got enough to prove himself to a new owner that he should be given the obviously he's been given the chance, but to be continued to given the chance under new ownership?
Yeah. I mean, when Philip Cocu departed, I said and I wrote, I felt it was a job for an experienced manager. And the reason I said that was because Derby were bottom of the table. At the bottom of the table, you had 6 points from 13 games and you're in trouble straight away. That's why I said experienced manager. It's a bit of myself being a safeguard, if you like, but that's what I thought. Wayne Rooney was handed the reins, interim manager at first, then permanently. And he has impressed me in the way he's gone about it. Some will say, okay, it's a mixed bag of results, and it has been, but only a mixed bag of results because of the recent run. It's only the recent run that's made that a mixed bag, really. Before that, the record was quite strong and you could see what he was trying to do and the way he was trying to do it. So I think he deserves the chance. The problem we've got, of course, is depending on who the owner's going to be, we don't know whether those people or those owners, whoever they are, think Wayne Rooney is the right man. But make no mistake, Wayne Rooney made it clear last week, didn't he, in the presser, that he didn't become manager with the hope there was going to be a takeover. He became manager because that's what he wanted to do. And Derby gave him the chance to do it. He's in it for the long term. He wants to be a success here as a manager. You know, it's not like he's going to, because the takeover collapsed, he's going to walk out. That's not the case at all. He wants to kind of take this club back to the Premier League in his time here at Derby. So you can see his ambition, you can see his drive. And as I say, that's very, very important to him. And it will be interesting, you know, if we do have new owners between now and the start of next season, it will be interesting to see whether they say, yeah, Wayne is the right man for us or he's not. It's difficult to answer that because without knowing, speaking to those new owners or potential new owners, I should say, about their ideas, it's difficult to know what they're thinking on that. But I think he's shown enough for me to be given a full chance, as it were. Because let's be honest, his first stint as manager, well, what a start for him. Incredible. All this off-the-field issues, takeover, is a takeover, isn't a takeover, having to juggle a squad, having to wait till the kind of deadline day on transfer, on the January transfer window before bringing players in or not. He's had a lot to deal with. And I think in the main, I think he's dealt with it quite well, as I say. But as always with managers, and I say it with all managers I work with, I always say the same thing. Results will dictate what happens to managers over a season. And that's the case with Wayne Rooney as well.
Fair enough. And Jason, before I hand it over to you, Steve, I want to ask you one more thing. The points deduction, the EFL charge, has reared its ugly head again as are the appeals going through the summer. What can you tell us about that?
I understand it started the appeal at the weekend. It's ongoing, as we know, but that's been no secret. I think that was clear from last September, I think, when the EFL made it clear they were going to appeal part of the decision. But we have to remember, of course, that Derby were cleared of any wrongdoing. So it would still be a surprise to me if they were stung with any serious punishment. I can't see there being a points deduction. This is something, as I say, they were cleared of, and now it's come back. So I'll be staggered if there was a if there was a points deduction. But yeah, it's ongoing. How soon will we hear the outcome of the appeal? Well, last time, if you remember, it dragged on for a long time, didn't it? And before we had any outcome. But you know, you would imagine there'd have to be some outcome pretty soon, certainly by next month, you'd imagine there have to be, because the season ends in May. But again, it's another thing you just don't need, is it? And that it's been that type of season, hasn't it? We've been dealing with things and talking about things and reporting about things when really we've had enough problems on the field as well.
And from one appeal to another, it's gone ever so quiet on the Richard Keogh front. Mm. It wasn't a point. It's literally what I've just thought of. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not even sure where we are with it, Steve.
No.
What's your understanding of it?
That's a very good question, actually. I'm not even sure myself where we are at the moment. It's again, as far as I'm aware, it's ongoing. It's ongoing. It's really weird. These things, unfortunately, they do take time. They do take time. It's so frustrating. But I think what's changed is that we are aware, very much more aware of these things these days because of social media and all that type of thing. They don't disappear, do they? They're always there. Somebody will always say one week or another, oh, what's happening with Richard Keogh, or what's happening with the AFL appeal? I think that's what's changed, and that's why the takeover was interesting, because you're never going to get a running commentary on a takeover from the club who's selling or the people who are buying, because they're not allowed to do that. You know, they sign these contractual obligations where they can't do it. Fans are demanding information all the time, aren't they, on a daily basis, but we can't, you know, we just can't go there. We haven't got that information as such because they can't talk about it. And all it does, it leads to frustration. And that's what we've had for most of the season, isn't it? We've had a lot of frustration, and then you throw in poor results, and it can be difficult weekends. It can be difficult weekends on social media.
Yeah, they are. And I think trying to put a positive spin towards the end of this chat. You know, we don't want to take too much more of your time, Steve. You've been gracious enough to give us what you have. I think just going back on that point with Wayne Rooney. I mean, we didn't see the Wayne Rooney in the transfer market of January, what I think he wanted to do, obviously with what everything, mm-hmm. technically we found out that we were actually under an embargo, soft embargo because of, you know, finances and things like that. As you quite rightly say, this summer for me is massive. One of the points that me and Corey have mentioned is obviously the finances in football after COVID.
Yeah.
The amount of players that are going to become available in the summer. Now, and I don't necessarily think you're going to need the millions and millions to actually get yourself to summer, bring in the 8-9 players that Derby clearly are going to need, more than likely at least, to have a strong enough squad, which is something that we knew we had to do in January, which I think that's, you know, the players that we brought, that's exactly what we did. Some have worked out, probably some haven't, but, you know, the depth was there. I think this summer is going to be massive. Your thoughts on the finance side of, you know, COVID football and the amount of players that are physically going to be available on the cheap in the summer, if you're shrewd enough and contacts would come into this, and, you know, we know that what Wayne Rooney is in football, he's probably got a black book. Mm-hmm. This could actually work in Derby's favour quite nicely, and not just Derby County. I think there's going to be a lot, certainly in the Championship, and you'll probably get a fair few out of the Premier League as well who haven't made those squads. The Championship as a whole next season could be technically a lot stronger. I mean, everybody said this season it's not been at its greatest, but you could find a lot of players that they're going to have to take wage cuts because the finances are just not going to be available. So actually going into thinking, hopefully Derby are going to be in the Championship next season, the Championship could be a lot stronger. And from Derby's point of view, you might end up actually getting a few bargains, Steve. What do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely true. And this is why it's important that Derby are ready. They're ready for this summer because I think there'll be a rush. You know, there'll be a lot of Championship clubs, and I spoke to somebody about this at the weekend. There'll be a lot of Championship clubs looking for these players, you know, and ready to go. And Derby have got to be ready. And this is why we need that stability. We need to know what's what on and off the pitch, where we're at, what the manager is able to do, what he's not able to do, who we can keep, who maybe have to move on. If they're not ready, they'll miss the boat. And there'll be lots of people on the boat. You know, they'll all be looking for these players. I think you're right. I think I'll be surprised if it's a summer of big spending, because I don't think the money's there for obvious reasons. We've had the full year of the COVID problem. No revenues. I mean, clubs' revenues have been hit dramatically, and no fans in the ground. So it will be a very different transfer window. Clubs are going to have to be very cute, and Derby are going to have to be very cute as well. And I'm absolutely sure that Wayne Rooney, having spoke to him throughout the January window, when he said right from the start of that window that he knew the players he wanted to bring in, he had them in his mind. Unfortunately, they couldn't get him until right at the end of the window. But I'll be staggered if Wayne Rooney hasn't got the same thinking going on now as far as who he would want, what he would want, what positions he's looking at. But as you said, there'll be a lot of competition out there. And if Derby aren't ready, if they're not ready to go when that whistle blows, as it were, on the transfer window, you know, they don't want to be left behind.
My final question, Steve, from me, just before I know Corey's one last one. I don't know if you know the answer to this. Obviously, it's around this time, usually, that season ticket information comes out and ticketing. Have you heard anything at all from the club in terms of they do nothing?
Nothing at all. You're absolutely right, aren't you? I mean, you know, we usually know by now, certainly April, early April, heard nothing at all. I see what, you know, other clubs mentioning their season tickets and that, and I hear from fans all the time, some fans saying they're still waiting for refunds on some tickets and all that type of thing, which isn't a particularly good situation. So no, we've not heard anything yet. And again, I say that just adds to it, doesn't it? Because we still don't know at this stage, when we kick off in August, how many fans will be allowed back in grounds. You know, we're not suddenly just going to go from none to 28,000 again. It's going to be a very gradual thing. And, you know, it's been a tough time. It's been a really tough time for everybody. Fans, because they've not been able to get to matches. Clubs, because they've had the problems and the revenue hits. And now they've got to somehow, I would imagine, find a way of getting fans in gradually. So still an awful lot of work to be done. But, no, I'm kind of waiting on the season ticket stuff at the moment.
Corey, I'll pass it to you for your final question.
Yeah, Steve, this is a two-parter. It's got nothing to do with Derby County. I thank you so much for taking the time on an international break to discuss Derby, because I'm sure you want to unplug like we all do.
I wish I could, unfortunately.
So, first question, Steve.
Yeah.
You're making yourself a cup of tea. What tea bag do you reach for first? Do you reach for Tetley, PG Tips, Yorkshire Tea? What kind of tea bag guy are you?
I don't make my own tea. Oh. My wife makes a lovely cup of tea, to be honest. My tea is terrible. The lads at work, when we used to be in the office at work, will tell you that they preferred I didn't make a round of tea because it's awful. So that's my excuse for not making a cup of tea. It would probably be a Tetley tea bag, I would imagine.
A Tetley guy. Milk, sugar?
Oh, yes. Milk and four sugars, yeah. No, sorry, two sugars, I should say. I can't drink tea without sugar. Just can't do it. It's not possible.
The questions, we put a feeler out on the socials when we agreed that you were going to come on the podcast and everything. Mm. We got a lot of good questions, most of which we've covered today. Yeah. But one of the questions we've not covered, and this was out of left field, and this is why I asked the tea question. Yeah. Favorite biscuit? Steve Nicholson. What kind of biscuit guy is Steve Nicholson?
My favourite biscuit is We have, funnily enough, you should ask this. We have this discussion at work a lot. We do a top 10. We do a top 10 biscuits because it's the greatest discussion point, isn't it, going? Because you get all sorts. People throw custard creams at me and bourbons. I don't want any of those, to be honest. My favourite biscuit is a malted milk biscuit.
Ooh.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favourite biscuit. You know why? Because it dips lovely in tea. That's why. I do like... I also like a rich tea biscuit as well. I'm not a big fan of digestives. I do like shortbread, though. Very nice shortbread. So that's nice, but it's a great discussion point. You should always have a favorite biscuit question at the end of every podcast.
I think for me, I'm a digestive man myself.
Oh yeah, no, not for me.
And I used to think like heaven was a McVitie's digestive biscuit with chocolate.
Yeah.
And then I've come to realize it's just a plain digestive biscuit now. You don't necessarily need that. Because I don't drink coffee or tea, so I drink hot chocolate, and then you have the chocolate biscuit, and then you have hot chocolate. So I'm just more of a plain digestive man, Jason.
Yeah, I only have one cup of tea a day, you see, just one in the morning. That's all.
One cupper.
Just one cup. I'm not a coffee drinker, really. But I have one cup of tea basically in the morning. My wife makes it, and she makes a lovely cup of tea, so that'll do me.
I'm a fan of the malted milk, and I must admit shortbread's my favourite, but we save this house for Christmas. But for me, it's a chocolate hobnob all the way.
Oh, yeah, it's good. It's a good shout. It's a good shout, that one.
Although I have to be politically correct here, and I have to say that that's my favourite store-bought biscuit. My favourite biscuit all the time is my mom's chocolate chip cookies, which cannot be beat anywhere. I have to say that because my mom listens to the podcast, and she can make it if I don't mention it. So they are my favorite biscuit, but if it was a store-bought biscuit, it's definitely a digestive.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you save me one of your mum's chocolate chip cookies, that'll be really good.
Next time I come, Steve, you will have a bag of chocolate chip cookies waiting for
Lovely.
You. That is a promise.
Perfect. Perfect.
And a very lighthearted way to end the podcast. as Corey said, we did get quite a few questions in on Twitter. I think we've covered most of them. In fact, I think we've covered them all. So anybody who asked a question and listens to the podcast, thank you very much for your input. And Steve, of course, thank you very much for giving up your time to join us. Hopefully everybody's... it certainly helped me for the last hour with venting and frustration. And maybe we're a little bit more. And, you know, I just want to end on... Whilst it seems doom and gloom, let's fingers crossed Derby managed to drag themselves over the line come what may. And of course, over the summer, that optimism will be back again, I'm sure, for the 7th of August and Derby having another crack at the championship. But Steve, thanks very much for joining us.
No problem. Anytime.
And Corey, as always, Corey, thank you very much for joining us.
Jason, thanks for having me on. And Steve, thanks for spending the evening with us. We appreciate it.
No problem, mate.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Rams Review Podcast. We would love it if you'd like to get in touch. On Twitter, we're at RamsReview1. On Facebook, it's Rams Review Podcast. Or you could drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. Until next time, up the Rams. The Rams Review Podcast are proud to be part of the Fan Hub 100, putting fans first.